Welcome to the Euro Auto Training Garage Spiel Podcast. Garage Spiel Podcasts are brought to you by your friends at Baum Tools Unlimited and Stahlwelly Tools North America. Learn more at www.baumtools.com and www.stahlwelly.com. Baum Tools Unlimited and Stahlwelly Tools North America are proud to underwrite the Garage Spiel Podcast. This is part 5 of our 8-part interview with Dennis Simonitis, Road & Track Magazine's engineering editor. In this episode, Dennis talks about diesel hybrids and the issues surrounding clean diesel engines.
So the Europeans were not at first worried about clean air as much as we are. We have been. And thus they were slower in including clean air among their criteria on what should we deem important in a car's performance. They were much more concerned with fuel economy, as they are today. And in fact, even today, with all the European emphasis on CO2 reduction, you know, of course, CO2 reduction is exactly and almost utterly related to, it's directly related to, if you're talking about gas, carbonaceous fuel, it's directly related to fuel consumption. So that is to say, if I want to have a certain CO2 number, the way I achieve that number, that low number, is to have a low fuel consumption, i.e. high MPG. So there's no magic. There's an important point that I'm sure, you know, your technical audience understands, but I'm not sure that the guy out in the street understands. There's no CO2 converter. You know, there's no way you're going to take the stuff coming out of the car and reducing its CO2 with some magical machine. The way you reduce CO2 is to reduce fuel consumption or back C carbon out of the fuel.
Right.
So there is that relationship of alternative fuels,
yep,
with more or less carbon than gasoline. Oh, good little factoid. There are more C's in diesel fuel. There are more C's in diesel fuel than there are in gasoline. So a diesel engine, to be as efficient, measured by CO2 output, has to give better fuel consumption. Relative to a gasoline engine.
For the same amount of CO2.
Yeah, for the same amount of CO2 coming out. By a measurable amount. I mean, I think it's 15% or something like that. So, yeah, so in a sense, it's more challenging for a diesel to achieve. The Europeans these days are really shooting for 140 grams per kilometer of CO2 output, which is equivalent to sort of high 30s MPG. But it's harder for a diesel, you know, where the gasoline engine may be 37 per MPG, the diesel engine has to do 41 or something like that.
Well, this is a little bit of an aside, but Do you think that diesel hybrids are going to be a factor at all based on that?
It's a good question, and the smart people that I talk to give me a good analogy that's more technical maybe than it sounds. And that analogy is a diesel hybrid is like wearing a belt and suspenders. And let's see why. Remember why a hybrid works. A hybrid works because you have this heat engine, gasoline, diesel, whatever, and you have this electric motor, and you have them interacting. Now, the gasoline engine and the electric motor are sort of a marriage made in heaven. The electric motor has all of its torque is from zero RPM. As soon as it's turning, it has all of its torque.
Right.
When's a gasoline engine worse? When it's barely running.
Right.
That's when its
sure.
torque is low.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So here's interaction. You let the electric motor help you get going. And then there are certain times when the gasoline engine's very efficient. It's very efficient at heavy load and full throttle. Then you let the gasoline engine take over the propulsion job and let the electric motor back out and therefore save some of the energy in your battery. And it's this kind of interaction that goes on with a Prius, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going on all the time. The driver doesn't even think about it. You're just driving on the road, and sometimes the gasoline engine's running, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the electric motor's running, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the gasoline engine runs just to have the electric motor charge the battery.
Charge the battery.
So
sure.
Other times it's actually taking part of the propulsion. So all these interactions work really well with a gasoline engine, emphasize the word gasoline, and an electric motor. Okay, let's drop back and talk about what's cool about a diesel. What's good about a diesel? Lots of low-end grunt. Oh, gee, that's funny. That's what's good about an electric motor. What's bad about a diesel? It's really heavy. Oh, so is the battery. Another diesel challenge. Diesels, of course, are compression ignition engines, not spark engines. And as everyone who's ever driven a diesel knows, especially an old diesel before they got tame, when you start them up and when you shut them down, they're not particularly smooth. You know, they kind of...
Right.
Well, the reason for that is you're shutting off the fuel. The diesel engines keep running until you shut off the fuel.
Right.
Because they're unthrottled. There's no throttle to close. So diesel engines are just inherently, because of their very nature, they're, I can't say rough to start and to stop, but relative to a gasoline engine, they're relatively rough to start and stop. Well, what does it want a hybrid to do? You want that gasoline engine to start and stop, not exactly at will, but a lot.
But a lot, sure.
You want it to, and you want it to start and stop seamlessly. Wow, that's a challenge if you're an engineer building a diesel hybrid, because the diesel engine doesn't want to fire up smoothly, nor does it shut down particularly smoothly. It can be treated, it can be handled, and they obviously they handle it. But is a diesel hybrid worth the trouble? The lot of people I talk with, the smart people I talk with, say probably not, because you're paying, you're putting a Band-Aid on the engine that you don't need.
Right.
Or said another way, and this, I like the belt suspenders thing. You're doing belts and suspenders. You're taking the benefits of the one engine and the benefits of the motor that are very similar and trying to optimize.
Right.
Where by contrast with the gasoline engine, you're taking the deficit of the gasoline engine and blending it with the benefit of the electric motor and vice versa.
And vice versa.
And partly because of cost, too. You know, a diesel engine's more expensive to build,
sure,
too. So the diesel hybrid goes into the game with two strikes against it, where the gasoline hybrid still has that duplication of propulsion means as a disadvantage, but it doesn't pay quite as high a price.
Well,
now, having said all that, I am also aware, and other people tell me, if all you're looking for is absolute, most efficient, who cares about cost, who cares about transparency, I just want to get the highest mileage or the lowest fuel consumption, I want to get the lowest fuel consumption, maybe not even the cleanest air, lowest fuel consumption. Yeah, diesel hybrid has some things going for it, because the diesel is a more efficient engine than the gasoline engine, mm-hmm, in its full regime. But notice again, what about clean air? Clean diesel ain't clean, friend. A clean diesel is relatively clean. Boy, that's another little box I can stand on and
fall off
and hurt myself.
You wrote at least one really good tech tips column about urea.
Well, that's it. It's a good example. The best diesels today. Hey, there's a good story to tell, too, if you don't mind my digressing for a moment. In the late 70s, early 80s, we had a Volkswagen Rabbit diesel. Remember the Rabbit?
Sure, absolutely.
We had a Rabbit diesel at the office. We put 100,000 miles on it.
Yep.
Had it for several years. It averaged 42, I looked this up, it averaged 42.7 miles per gallon. It was quite efficient.
Yep.
But even now, I can remember, it was slow, it was noisy, and it was smelly.
Smelly,
I mean,
sure.
Diesels of that era were not very refined. A modern diesel is amazing compared to that. So, yes, a modern diesel is an amazing thing. Even when you start thinking about clean air or relatively clean air, it has some basic disadvantages that are just physics, namely, the diesel operates at a higher compression ratio, mm-hmm, than the gasoline engine. And this implies higher combustion temperatures. And that's what causes NOx, NOx, oxides of nitrogen. And again, from what I'm told, if you what's best for reducing NOx in a diesel engine is worst for particulates, and vice versa. What's best for lowering particulates is worst for NOx, or worse for NOx. So that any diesel engine's running on a balance of those two things. And to optimize them, or one way of handling the problem, you mentioned urea injection. And it works, it's cool. It is a good way of reducing the NOx in an engine that allows you to go inside the engine and optimize it for low particulate and then handle the downstream NOx with urea injection. But with a trade-off, you got to refill that stuff at perhaps oil change intervals. It's expensive. You have an additional layer of stuff in the car. Yeah. There are other ways of handling the problem independent of urea. But I think most engineers I talk to imply that above a certain size, like 2.5 liters, you're pretty much fixed to urea for meeting the regulations, meeting current U.S. regulations.
Current U.S. regulations.
And meeting coming European. The European regulations are still easier than ours.
But
they have been all the way along.
But they're on the way.
They're on the way. And every time that they put in like Euro 6, which is coming, Euro 6 is still easier than us, but it's getting...
Closer?
Getting harder
for
them to meet. Not necessarily closer, because we get harder, too.
Yeah, true. So,
you lower the standard every place.
Yeah.
But the Europeans are getting to the point where some of the manufacturers are saying, wow, our diesels are going to be challenged by these new regulations. And it's one reason why we're even seeing some of the European concept cars being gasoline electric hybrids, where that manufacturer's long suit on the road today is a diesel car.
So that's where they're starting to go?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's yet other technology coming. There's a marriage of the two called HCCI. Let's see if I get this right. Homogeneous charge compression ignition. So when you say compression ignition, that means diesel.
Yep.
But it isn't quite. It's sort of getting an engine to behave like a diesel burning on a gasoline-like fuel.
Huh.
And I'll tell you the amazing thing, Gary. It is the purists say I'm wrong in this, and I am wrong, but it's kind of. It's kind of like letting a gasoline engine knock when you want it to knock, but just when you want it to knock. And it's amazing to me that you can control it so finely that you can exploit that bad thing, detonation. And it turns out you're not really exploiting that bad thing. But you are exploiting compression ignition, you know, what goes on in a diesel.
Sure.
But you're doing it in kind of a marriage of the two fuels and the two engines with some advantages of each and fewer disadvantages of each. There's still research, you know, they're still working on it. There are some who say, yes, it will be used for certain modes of travel, light load, for example. And they're even thinking about having engines that run, for example, like a conventional gasoline engine, until they get to really, really light load, where you start getting into misfire and things that are bad for emissions. Well, when you get into this really, really light load, the engine automatically changes to this odd HCCI operation, and it operates HCCI wise while it's under light load, and then when you go heavy it changes back or transforms seamlessly back into gasoline like operation. A lot of research going on. Sometimes you hear people say, yeah, it's research, but it's sort of a dead branch.
It's other amazing.
People, I mean, other people say, yeah, still working on it.
From the days when they went, I can't pronounce it right. Tuft, tuft, tuft.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to this, to what's becoming
it's amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, this is one reason why, you know, we can talk, of course, about alternative propulsion, electric, fuel cell. But let's not forget the gasoline engine. The gasoline engine still has a lot of growth, a lot of potential. And, of course, we're seeing it these days in the proliferation of direct injection engines for reasons of higher efficiency and all of their benefits. So there are lots of exciting things. We're probably in the most exciting place technically that the automobile has been in like 110 years.
Be sure to check out the rest of our interview with Dennis at www.euroautotraining.com.